Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Hi, everyone. This is the Rose, Rose Colombo, right here for you at Blog Talk Radio Worldwide.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Yes, listen up. And first of all, I want to wish everyone a very happy Easter, because that will be coming up on Easter Sunday. And that is a belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He is God. And there are three persons in one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He shed His blood so that we could have grace, mercy, and ask forgiveness and try to repent from all of our sins. And we also declare that He is our Savior and that He arose from the dead on Easter Sunday. He resurrected from the dead, and that there is life after death. And this is just a journey here. This is a test. Hope we all can pass. And I also want to wish everyone else a very happy Passover. All Christians celebrate Passover too, and they celebrate Palm Sunday and then Easter Sunday. Let me give you a little information on Passover that I came across. Happy Passover, Festival of Freedom marks birth of Jewish nation. This is from WIN, World Israel News. And it says that Jews mark week-long Passover holiday with traditions and symbolism inspired by the biblical Exodus from slavery to freedom. And we're still doing that, aren't we? We're still trying to fight back for our freedom, because there are people out there who are trying to enslave not just Western civilization, not just Israel, but the world. And that's called communism, socialism, New World Order, United Nations Agenda 21, 30, and 50. And it is a very sinister one world government with one world leader who has a communist, Marxist, sociopath, psychopathic brain, and seeks to rule the world and enslave those who survive his iron fist. But this article is by Paul Shinman, World Israel News. It says, every spring, Jews around the world celebrate the festival of Passover that commemorates the biblical exodus of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt more than three millennia ago to freedom and becoming masters of their own destiny, which is the goal of all human beings who are free and can exercise their God-given right to freedom. Called the time of our freedom, Passover is looked at as the watershed event that gave birth to the Jewish nation. It is one of the three pilgrimage festivals that include Shavuot, Feast of Weeks, and Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles. I hope I pronounced those right. In Hebrew, it is called Pesach, P-E-S-A-C-H, meaning Passover, and derived from the last of the 10 plagues in which God passed over the homes of the Jewish slaves and killed only the firstborn Egyptians. The many biblical precepts and their interpretations make the holiday one that is full, filling, and fun. The Bible specifies that the holiday begins on the 15th day of Nisan in the Hebrew calendar, which corresponds in 2020 to sundown on April 8th and continues for 7 days. The first and last days are consecrated and no servile work can be done, while the interim days are marked by eating matzah, the same bread of affliction that had no time to rise in the haste the Israelites fled to freedom. And that's what we all want to do. We all want to preserve freedom. Or if you are in a nation where there is no freedom, I'm sure you are seeking to flee to a free nation. And we will pray for that. We'll pray that your nations are eventually free as well. Free to think, free to speak out, free to be who you want, free to go where you want, free to do what you want, free to make as much money as you want, free to worship who you like. That is the hope of all mankind. And on that note, I want to say that we're going to be entering into the world of authors and experts, my favorite part of the show. And today we have a dynamic returning guest. Her name is Anna Weber. I love that name because that was my grandmother's name. And she is a best-selling author. She has many books, but we're going to talk about her bestseller latest books, Grow Your Cash Flow and the Doxa Method. Because in today's world, we are very concerned about what is happening due to the worldwide coronavirus pandemic. And she's going to help us with this valuable information on how to cope with financial problems as we around the world experience this shutdown that was caused by an unleashed coronavirus. And that has shut down businesses and caused the loss of jobs, and millions of people are now on unemployment. So hopefully the sun will shine again. And, you know, the sun is a source of healing from God. And so the sun will shine again. This dark cloud will pass over us. But in the meantime, let's speak with our very special guest, Anna Weber, because I'm sure you're anxious to find out what she has to say that's going to help your life at this time have more hope and become much better than it is today. So, hi, Anna Weber. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great because the sun's coming out, and that makes me very happy.
Yes, the sun is with the clouds. It's not exactly sunny, but it comes out like a little here, a little there.
So, Anna Weber, how are you doing during this coronavirus pandemic?
I am just thinking positive, very optimistic, and very, very, should I say, challenged in one way, but not challenged mind, body, and spirit. I believe that this is going to be over. And once it's over, we learn some lessons, and I believe we're going to apply some of those wise lessons into our lives professionally, in business, and in our personal life.
That's fantastic, because you have many best-selling books, and two of your latest ones are Grow Your Cash Flow and the Doxa Method. And, you know, you have a remarkable background, and you want to share just a little bit of your background on living in Europe during those hard times and then getting to Israel and America.
Yes, I grew up in Romania in a communist country. I was a little girl. We immigrated, my mom and I, to Israel. Tough times were in Israel, tough times in Romania. And I think, you know what I think? I think those tough moments and challenging and painful moments emotionally lead you to become hopefully a better person and more open-minded and understand, like you said, freedom is everything. And I think that's what, you know, all the yes moments and all the easy moments are not teaching you as much as the hardship that you're going through.
Exactly. And you were in Israel after you left Europe.
Yes.
And
right.
You had a dream to come to America, and
yes.
You made that dream
yes.
happen. And what happened
yes.
when you got
yes.
to America?
Oh, well, I went to school. I actually did my graduate schooling here in the United States. I love this country. And then, I was looking for work. Being 5 days in New York, I found an amazing job. Then about a year and a half later, we immigrated to California because of the sunshine, because it was just more beautiful weather. So we came to California. But needless to say, you know how they say in New York, if you make it there, you make it anywhere. It was a very interesting transformation from coming from a whole different city and coming from a different behavior to the United States. It was a huge step. But it taught me so much, I can't even begin to tell you. So it was a phenomenal experience to be in New York.
Well, you know, going back to business, because that's what you are. You're a business person. You're a guru.
Yes.
You talk to 500 Fortune companies. You fly around the world. You do small businesses, individuals who are seeking to own a business, and Fortune 500 companies listen to you and what you have to say, because it's important. But in these times
yes.
right now with the coronavirus pandemic, everybody's at home, and some people are trying to do their business from home, which is probably very difficult. And
yes.
and it hasn't been easy for them. And then we have the Wall Street news that, you know, the market's up, the market's down, the market's up, the market's down.
Yes.
What financial tips can you tell people who are stuck at home trying to do business?
I think one of the most important tools and messages I can share with the audience is that change is constant, change is guaranteed. This is not forever. It's a change that we obviously have to go through it, but it's not going to last forever. It's going to change. And once it's going to change, I think it's going to come up better and bigger and more wiser and more passionate about life. Not just life at home, but life in general. I think our spirit is going to be ignited, and it's going to be a whole new start. You know, perhaps it's a cleansing time. I am not sure exactly all the lessons that we learned from this, but I do know one thing, that it's going to change. And that makes people much more hopeful and more optimistic and, you know, see life in color instead of seeing it so dull as we tend to see it as people.
Yes, and one of my hopes, Anna, is that people like myself will stop and meditate and think about
yes.
how fortunate we are to have freedom, because stuck in our homes is not fun.
Yes.
And so imagine those countries that are, the people are stuck at their homes all the time. They can't go or do anything unless their
yes.
government allows them to do it. So I think it's a time
yes.
to maybe, like you said, think about, you know, purging and thinking about how grateful we should be for living in a country where we're pretty much free to do what we want to do and be what we want to be and earn as much money as we want in business. And so
yes.
now we're like, whoa, wait a minute, everything could be taken away from us overnight, you know?
Yes.
And so go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, I'm listening.
Oh, I was going to say, so how do you make money your friend when it's getting to be tougher and tougher in this economy to keep it in our bank accounts?
Well, money, first of all, is just a great servant. It can never be your master. Money in its nature doesn't bring you happiness, health, or any kind of good energy. Like I said, money is a great, great tool, but it's a servant, but never a master. So right now, at this moment, April 8th, 2020, money is obviously not circulating. It's not going from one person to another, from one business to another. Everything is shut down, so there is Therefore, there's no circulation of money. Hopefully, things will change soon. I am praying for that. Then money will start circulating. And once money starts circulating, it's going to be a momentum because it's going to create. I have the three-step formula, attract, believe, create. It's going to attract more abundance. It's going to attract more knowledge. It's going to attract more believing in yourself and also in your creativity. It's going to create something new that perhaps you've never done before that just, you know, came into your mind while you were sitting home with your family, with your kids, or with your spouse, you know, and bring in some freshness and some breath that will start circulating the money. And therefore, it's going to start circulating the businesses and people are going to go back, not the way they were before, but much better and much bigger and much more potent and powerful.
That's very good. And so you're a very positive and very optimistic person.
Yes.
And it and I wish more people were, because bottom line is, you know, maybe there's some things they could do at home, like going through their files and their old deleting things and all this, and then recreating something that they should have done before in the past to help their business grow is what I'm getting from you. You know, don't waste your time now that you're at home. You could also make it better, make your business better if you start working on these ideas and creativity, so when the time comes, we can get back to work and everything will be better. So why, Anna, why do you love Mondays?
Oh, my God, what a great question. I love Mondays because Monday is the starting of the work week. I've been working since I'm 12 years old. I have a certain passion for work and a certain creativity and appreciation for work. And I navigate my life through work and through my, obviously, my personal life as well. So Monday to me symbolizing the, you set the week, you set it in an attitude, you set it in the mode, and all the rest of the day just really follow. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they follow Monday. If you are in a very lousy mood and bad attitude on Monday, somehow it carries out for the entire week. You become less efficient, less productive, and you actually give less instead of giving more. So I do love Mondays in many in many aspects of life, and I think Monday is a gusto. What I really want to share with audiences, I think the 5P formula, because right now we are so such in a standstill place that we are preparing for the future. And I think it's preparation, passion, priority, portion, and purpose. I think people feel like they lost their dignity, they lost their purpose, they lost their direction. On the contrary, you can take the driver's seat in your life detail and you can make choices that are very applicable and very full and very productive for the future.
Well, at this particular time with the coronavirus pandemic, and how can people actually wash away their debt?
That's a tough question. Very, very tough question. First of all, I think clarity of the mind. I think don't lose yourself in the process of kind of like negative energy and see that there is no way out. There is always a way out. I mean, I was homeless in Israel with my mom, homeless and hungry, and believe me, things have changed. It wasn't easy. It's a memory that always stays with me, but things changed. So basically what people need to understand, that clarity of the mind, eating well, eating healthy, taking nutrition, building your immune system is going to create for you to make wise choices and decisions. And they are not one-size-fits-all. Each and every person will probably approach it differently, but they will get better results. I don't know how debt is going to be washed out, you know, completely, but maybe businesses will thrive much more than before, and you will probably think before you spend the dollar. It's like I said, it's everything that's in the DAXA method. It's you ask your mind questions, and then your questions are answered by the choices that you make. But the most important thing is that you filter those choices. You don't just make abrupt choices. And that's what this shutdown, lockdown is giving you, time to kind of prepare for the bigger picture.
Well, you mentioned time, and we have lots of time right now. So
yes.
That's one of the things that I think are going to drive people crazy, especially business people. They're used to, like, going, doing things, you know, busy, busy, busy. So how can time be a friend to them?
Well, basically, that's one of the areas powerful component in the Doxer method is the second benefit. First of all, you make choices and you ask your mind questions. The second, you rotate the clock. You rotate the clock from yesterday. You let go. Like I said, you drive your life vehicle. You let go of emotional baggage and drama and tough moments. You're letting them go one by one. You continue to the present time. You can take action in the present time. And you pick something that you want to look forward to tomorrow. You have some kind of a purpose in your personal life, in your business life, as an entrepreneur, at school, as a student. You have something that gives you a glimpse of life and hope. And I think looking forward to tomorrow and rotating again back to yesterday, today and tomorrow, it gives you an amazing skill for time management and really befriending time instead of being time's enemy.
Well, I think it's very interesting that we came from a me, me, me world over the past two or three decades, and that, you know, it's all about me and I don't care about you. That's your problem. And so we see more and more of that, you know. So how can we make the world a better place as individuals and businesses?
Yes, wonderful question. Well, first of all, I believe, you know what the philosopher Hillel said, if not now, when? If I'm only for myself, who am I? But if I'm not for myself, what can I do? So basically, it's a very fine line. We're crossing a fine line. You got to be there for yourself so you can be of good for your children, for your family, for your business, whatever that may entail. So you got to be good to yourself. You got to take care of yourself. But don't forget everybody else in the process. All my life, I've helped people throughout different stages in life. And I think that's very important to put yourself in the other person's shoes and see what could they do today. Like, for example, I've been home a lot, and so I cooked a meal for my next-door neighbor who is just really not doing so well, very depressed. I made a dinner for her birthday. So it's a little touch of something that you think of yourself, but you also think of others. And you know what it is? That is like a pandemic. It's contagious. Then it affects other people as well. They learn from you, and you become a better leader. You become much more efficient in your life, you know, journey.
Yes, and it's more fulfilling in to the person that's giving too. So, what do you think about, you know, a lot of young people today that grew up known as millennials are very unhappy,
yes,
and it's very sad, and you know, and so
yes,
it's like they can't cope with the word no and
yes,
or anything that they disagree with. So what about the importance of attitude and gratitude of all people?
Yes, I think it's extremely important. And the young ones, today we have so many gadgets and electronics, and we have so many tools that we can actually utilize that years ago we didn't have. But let's not forget the behavior, the touch of one person to another. I call everybody, I text, I get on Zoom, I connect with people. But it's very important to give people some type of a light at the end of the tunnel. But most importantly, with the whole young generation, like you said, they're not accustomed to it. To having any kind of unfamiliar situation, which is very unfamiliar right now. So don't you know, be an enemy to the situation, but try to understand that it's the nature, I guess, it's the course of life, and it's very hard to befriend it. It's extremely hard to befriend it, but it's a better choice. And wake up in the morning and say thank you prayer, and just go on with your life, and you're gonna realize that you know, life and the universe will reciprocate and love you back. It's very important to send out a lot of love, a lot of attention, a lot of kindness in this, you know, tough time.
Yes, and I also think, you know, that being grateful, having gratitude, hasn't been
yes,
spread and taught over these few generations. And I think when you have gratitude, it's part of your thought process that when you have gratitude, that you are more apt to appreciate each step that you achieve in your businesses?
Yes, absolutely. Gratitude and momentum and very, very positive thinking and extremely, extremely introduce leadership skills that people really look up to you. And sometimes leadership is not easy. You put you on the front line, but it's very, very important how you set the example for other people to follow.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I was growing up and even into my adulthood, I had a very difficult time saying no to anybody if they asked me, you know, could I do this, could I do that for them, even at my own expense many times. And I had to learn how to say no. So what is the power of no?
The power of no. The power of no is that in a simple way, you don't have it your way. Somehow something contradicts you. And, you know, sometimes you see a couple and they say, you know, this guy or this girl is just not for you. It just doesn't feel right. And you say, what do you mean? They don't have any faults. But sometimes we, from the outside in and from the inside out, we can tell certain things that are very important for a long time. So the power of no is basically to know and select and understand that you can say yes to everything. You can be inviting everything into your life. You have some people that you know, they just don't think, and it's all emotional decisions instead of practical and realistic, you know, choices. And sometimes those emotional decisions don't lead you to great results whatsoever.
Especially in business, I think you have to be someone who knows how to use the word no in a polite way, but learn how to say no. Is that right?
Yes, learn how to say no. And in the process of saying no, you actually build the relationship and you build the trust and you build that common thread that they both, both entities are looking for prosperous, situation. But sometimes you have to say no to certain things instead of saying yes, and then you're realizing that the yes didn't take you to a good place. So you got to be very careful. That's why I tell people, filter before you talk, filter before you do something, because it has certain results that you sometimes you're not expecting them.
Well, also, you are a people person, and so do you think it's important for business people to actually be a people person and learn people skills? Because I've met people persons and people in customer service that had no skills.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. It's very important to have mannerisms and good manners, and really your behavior, it's not necessarily always the athletic achievements or the academic achievements that design your behavior, but it's very important how you behave and how you treat the other person. Because I think one of the most important lessons in life is that each and every person you need to validate and really, really make them feel that they are make a difference in the world and not being insecure and full of fears and full of doubts. That's just is not a solution to, especially not to problems like we have right now.
Yeah, and what about, do you have like a relationship with money where you can look at it, like you say, as your friend, but also can you look at it as your enemy? Because we all get hate mail where it's bill collectors or whatever. So is there a dynamic there where people can be neutral towards money?
Well, that's a fantastic question. It's not easy. Sometimes you have to spend more and sometimes you have to save more. It's just like a relationship with time, a relationship with another person, a relationship with your loved ones, with your children, grandchildren, and so forth. You build a relationship with money. I think, again, it's very important to filter and look at the big picture. Look, where would you like to be 3 months from now? Where would you like to be 6 months from now? Where were you 2 years ago? And not place any judgment, because people are often placing judgment. Why did I invest into that? Why did I do this? Don't hit yourself. At the time, it looked like the right thing to do. Look at it in an objective way, not in an emotional way, and look where you want to... You want to build yourself a future, where you want to be a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, and what did you learn from past experiences, not past failure, but past experiences.
And I believe that you think that even as children, we are have epiphanies and during our childhood. And can you tell us how selling a magazine to a stranger created a lifelong passion?
Yes, that's a great question. My very first, I would say, financial transaction was a gentleman who worked for the Russian, I guess he worked for the consulate, and my mom was busy with the inventory, so I was. He asked me for a magazine, and I'm like very shy, insecure, very timid girl, kind of, you know, didn't speak much. I was really baffled at first, but I looked at that face, and somehow there was such a kindness there. So I said, okay, there was a trade-off. So basically he gave me a few coins, and I gave him the magazine, and I felt good because I put the coins in the drawer, and I'm like, I made my first sale. And this brings me to this whole thing of, what is the trade-off in life? Everything is a trade-off. Fortunately or unfortunately, it's a trade-off. And you have to be careful sometimes what you're setting to do and do your homework and realizing, is the trade-off really smart? Is it really wise? Or perhaps you can go around it. And those are many questions that they're hard to answer, you know, especially with the coronavirus. We made choices, and hopefully they're the right choices that were made.
Exactly. And so why do you think that some gifts should be accepted and some refused? What do you mean by that?
Well, I don't believe in bribing. I don't believe in buying, you know, certain people will pay with a certain, let's say, tickets to a game or to a concert, or, you know, pay it forward in a way being generous and gifted. Sometimes they are very valuable, sometimes they're not, because it depends on what is expected of you. Sometimes when you have expectations, you have disappointments later on. So I would say small little gifts are okay. Very big gifts, it's almost like you're getting traded in for something else, and I think the value of a person goes way beyond and above and over any kind of a monetary value. I think this is one of the lessons we're learning right now, that you can have a lot of money in the bank, perhaps, you know, the stock market is not ideal, but you can have all the gadgets and all the financial security, and yet feel like you're in prison, because somehow you feel like you're really locked up with your emotions. So again, money is not everything.
Money is not everything. It's nice to have security, but it's not everything, because it can't put their arms around you and give you a big hug and, you know, and a kiss or whatever, you know. And so I think people who I was once told by a very smart businessman, and he said, I said, well, how much money, you know, do you feel is enough? And he goes, it's not the money, it's a game. He said, it's the numbers now. After you reach a certain point, it's how far can I push those numbers? And I was like, wow, that's an interesting way to look at it. But, you know, all businesses, you know, are run by one or two people, or maybe a board. Yeah. And do you think that the power of prayer is important to businesses, or just a personal feeling?
You know what? I think it's personal, and I think it's also very healthy for the business, because first of all, it gives you some kind of humility, and it gives you some kind of a vulnerability that I think each and every person, each and every one of us has some of that. And I think it's very, very important to understand cash flow, and it's extremely important and very essential to prepare for a rainy day. I think we have everything going so beautifully, we don't think of, oh, this can stop and can just really turn around. We don't think of that. And not being pessimistic, right? But like I said before, it's being realistic and saying, what can I put away, or what can I invest for a rainy day, for a downturn, or anything that's unexpected? Am I going to be able to keep the employees? Am I going to be able to maintain the business? I mean, there's so many questions that you can answer yourself by not just living it up and living over and above your means. That's not recommended.
And then, of course, there's benefits from that. And so my last question to you is about your three P's, your three P points, passion, priority, and portion. What do you mean by that?
Passion, priority, purpose. Actually, it's a book that I launched and I published before the Doxa Method. It's preparing you for the Doxa Method. It has a lot to say about meditation, about befriending the unknown. I think there's no better time than today to embrace and understand that this unknown, uninvited, before 2020 is going to bring us only blessings, and it hit us very, very hard all over the world. And I think it's very important to understand that not everything is revealed to us, and by turning into something more humane can not only save us, but around us. And, you know, it's just a very passion, spirit, purpose is very motivating, very inspiring, and very inviting people to understand more about themselves. So the end of the book, the back of the book, it has many questions and many statements, you know, that people can just stimulate their minds and really take the mind to a step further that can help you, you know, for a better future.
Yes, and I think that goes into the businesses today where we're where they're stuck at home. I was reading that some of the businesses are like donating some of the products that are useful, like to the homeless, to the poor, to those elderly who can't get out, or if they have access to, you know, medical things, equipment, they're donating, or they're donating money, you know, so to help these causes so people can get through these tough times. And, so I think that your books, you know, are right on point and so important to the business people of today, and those who want to own a business should read them before they get going, which is Grow Your Cash Flow and the Doxa Method. But tell me, how did you name your book the Doxa Method, D-O-X-A?
That's a fantastic question. Doxa Method stands for four pillars, D for desire, determination, and drive. I think that's very important in our lives. O for outstanding, you go above and beyond the regular level of your humanity. X is Xing out the impossible. So that means you make everything as much as positively possible. And A is allowing you to be you. It's really being yourself, having an identity, having a self-esteem, having the courage. Hey, you know what? I went through this, and I went through this with flying colors. So I think the Doxa is extremely valuable, and all my books have a soul. They have a lot of feelings, and I think that's very important to cushion people's feelings and emotions and understand that it's a path. It's definitely not forever.
Oh, yes.
I
just love your information because it's so important to really, you know, think about the emotions and the feelings and what we're doing.
Yes.
And now is the time that we're at home with all this time on our hands that we can actually reevaluate our businesses and read these books by Anna Weber that can put things in perspective, especially Grow Your Cash Flow, because now it's going to be very important to grow their cash flow after this is over, right?
Yes. And one thing I have to add, nothing happens overnight. It's like the baby falls down, gets up again. It's baby steps. It takes 9 months to bring a child into the world. So be patient, be courageous, and trust yourself that you're going to be bigger and better than ever, and you're going to influence other people in the same way.
Well, Anna Weber, now that we've come to the end of the show, it's your time to shine. And you can tell your audience any message you like and any contact information and the titles of your books and how to contact you or if you have such a website, and also where they could buy your books.
Yes, well, they can definitely buy my books on Amazon, and they also can get more information about me and some of my writings at www.annaweberdoctor.com. They can email me, and I am here for free coaching and help out people with any questions they have. It's tough times. And my phone number is 949-422-1830. Don't give up. Just give more. And we all have something to give.
Isn't that just the truth? So thank you so much, Anna. It's always a pleasure to speak to you, Anna Weber. And I look forward to speaking to you again. And you stay safe and stay positive.
And
God bless
you. And you too. Stay healthy and God bless you. And have a wonderful day. Thank you very much.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And Anna Weber has left the building, and you will definitely want to get her fabulous books because they are going to help you to be successful. Grow Your Cash Flow and the Doxa Method, step by step, and it's enjoyable reading on top of it all. So look her up on Amazon.com and get those books while you got time to read. It's important. You know that you learn so much by reading. It's unbelievable. And I mean, you just become this wealth of knowledge. And you can do it too. And on that note, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to enter into the world of politics. We are now leaving the world of authors and experts, and I know you enjoyed our fabulous guest, Anna Weber. And we'll be right back after this important message.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. Listen up to Colombo Chronicles Live because we left authors and experts with our fabulous guest, the wonderful, well-traveled Anna Weber, who wrote Grow Your Cash Flow and the Doxa Method. They're bestsellers. They're on Amazon.com, and she has many, many more books. And she speaks to Fortune 500 companies and to small businesses and to individuals who are trying to start a business. Fabulous woman, fabulous. And now we're going to go into the world of politics. And I found this article on the Washington Times, DHS to hold up export of N95 masks and other medical equipment. Sounds startling, doesn't it? Homeland Security said Wednesday it will begin halting export shipments of N95 respirators, surgical masks, gloves, and other key medical equipment that would otherwise have gone to other countries. So it's a good thing because they're actually going to bring them here to the USA where we also need them. And this is by Stephen Dynan at the Washington Times. Customs and Border Protection said it will detain any shipments at the ports and give the Federal Emergency Management Agency a chance to okay or reject the export based on U.S. needs amid the coronavirus crisis. Depending on what FEMA decides, the government may order the shipment be returned to the U.S. or may decide to purchase it outright or allow it to be exported. Well, we're going to trust that in their little hands there. But what I was really concerned about here is by conservative base, and it was it's an article that is entitled FBI Raid Reveals Muslim Brotherhood Plot to Destroy America. Oh, dear. So, hold on a second. Sorry about that. And let's do this again. During a raid by the Federal Bureau of Investigation in Annandale, that's in Virginia, agents discovered what appears to be a three decades plan by upper echelon members of the Muslim Brotherhood to deconstruct the United States of America through inside operations. Now, I have been online for 10 years, and online for 10 years, I have been informing Americans that Barack Obama was meeting with the Muslim Brotherhood in the White House, sometimes without press or anyone else, and he entertained them a lot, and he also funded them as a nonprofit organization. The Muslim Brotherhood is not a pro-American organization and a charitable organization, pro-American. It is an anti-American organization, an anti-Israeli organization. Omar Ilhan Omar, representing the People's House, and Rashida Tlaib are either members, or if not, they absolutely support the Muslim Brotherhood CARE organization. They are speakers at the secret meetings of the Muslim Brotherhood organization. In our county, a few years back, they actually held a meeting in secret. Only Muslims were allowed inside the American taxpayer-funded public library. There was a protest of the residents holding up U.S. flags, and some members of the Jewish community were there. And the cops used yellow tape to prevent us from getting close to our taxpayer-funded public library, U.S. public library. We were not allowed to enter into our American U.S. public library. It was a no-go zone that night. And American police told us no. I had my press pass. They would not let me in. Nobody was allowed in unless you were a Muslim. And so recently, not so long ago, caught on camera, I don't know, it was online, someone posted it where Alice, former representative, and also Rashida Tlaib were caught on camera stating that they needed to change Congress, change the face of Congress, and turn Congress into all Muslims. And then that she also stated that they need to figure out a way to turn and change America, Americans, from their beliefs into converting to the Muslim religion. So this is what's happening. And these were just happened to get caught on camera and got posted online. They probably have removed it by now. But this is the agenda, which equates to traitors and treason. When you have an organization that's anti-American and they're planning on infiltrating into your government, your universities, and your churches in order to eliminate the United States Constitution and change the American way of life and force Americans to convert to their political and religious ideologies that are bonded together and cannot be separated. And that's their goal, then America has a serious problem. The article goes on to say, while President Barack Hussein Obama, Vice President Joe Biden, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and the National Security Advisor Susan Rice all spoke about and treated the Muslim Brotherhood as a moderate political group. Egypt, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and other nations have added the Muslim Brotherhood to their list of terrorist organizations. Now that's interesting, very interesting. Now it says Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, and Susan Rice, who was the National Security Advisor, all treated the Muslim Brotherhood as a moderate political group. Well, Egypt, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and other nations have added the Muslim Brotherhood to their list of terrorist organizations, but not the United States of America. Are you serious? The fact is that the stated and written strategic goal of the Muslim Brotherhood is to infiltrate. First, invade. Second, infiltrate. Third, overpopulate. And fourth, dominate. So, well, these Democrats are encouraging since the 70s American young females to abort their babies and only have one or two kids at the very most. Think about, is that a communist agenda, seriously? Or is that an American agenda, a Christian agenda, a Catholic agenda, a Jewish agenda? No, it is not. Is it a constitutional law or mandate? No, it wasn't until Obama took office. And in and under Obama regime, with Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State and Susan Rice and John Brennan and John Kerry and so forth, Obama passed and inserted after Obama and Pelosi stood in front of the nation and said there were no mandated taxpayer-funded abortions inserted into Obamacare. That was a lie, because mandated taxpayer-funded mandated taxpayer-funded abortions was inserted into Obamacare. And it wasn't just inserted into Obamacare as for Americans. It was inserted into Obamacare worldwide, requiring Americans to pick up the tab for worldwide abortions. So we're not only paying to kill off the natural-born Americans by the millions and millions, probably over 70 million by now, in the USA to depopulate the natural-born Americans needed to preserve the nation, and in the future, because only a natural-born American is eligible to be a president of the United States of America. And in my opinion, only natural-born Americans should be allowed to be members of Congress, senators, judges, justices, state assemblymen and state senators and governors and AGs. That is my personal opinion. We are talking about an organization that is funding their own people, their own radical people, to infiltrate into all branches of our government with the goal of dominating America and replacing the U.S. Constitution with Sharia law. and conquer our nation. That's the bottom line. And you can thank Obama and Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton and Senator Dianne Feinstein and Nancy Pelosi and Senator Schumer and Susan Rice and John Kerry and all the rest of the Democrats. During the raid, FBI agents and forensic technicians uncovered frightening material that included blueprints for the Muslim takeover of the United States of America, which I've been revealing to Americans for 10 years, 11 years now. What is wrong with the American people? What has happened to the American people? Holy smoke. Despite the Democrats' penchant for defending terrorists, remember Obama Holder released terrorists from Gitmo. They tried to reduce the serial mass murder jihadist attack at Fort Hood on dozens of honorable U.S. military men and women who were unarmed and just wiped out by a jihadist who pre-planned this serial killing on U.S. soil on a military base. And he was allowed to be a member of the U.S. military, even though the FBI knew he was a problem under Obama and Holder's and Hillary's watch and Joe Biden's. And they wanted to reduce his jihadist attack on our unarmed U.S. military men and women down to workplace violence. He wanted to release all terrorists from Gitmo, and he released many dangerous terrorists from Gitmo who tortured and murdered Americans. What's wrong with Americans? How could they be so blind as to what is happening? The article says, despite the Democrats' penchant for defending terrorists, aiding illegal aliens, thumbing their noses at counter-terrorists and police, law enforcement officers, intelligence, community, and military are warning Americans to be aware of this plot by the Muslim Brotherhood and do everything in their power to prevent Islamic Jihad from occurring on U.S. soil, according to material emailed to the National Association of Chiefs of Police. So, in 2005, just for your information, I was told by a retired FBI agent that they had been coming into our country way before 2001, the jihadists, or terrorists, whatever you want to call them, before they declared war on the USA on 9/11/2001 and murdered over 2,000 Americans, because many died from the toxic poison afterwards over the years. We don't even know the numbers, including first responders and witnesses that were close by. Nobody talks about that. And he told me that not only had they been coming into the USA before 2001, these terrorists and jihadists and radicals, but they have been smuggling in weapons and explosives and stockpiling them around the country, setting up no-go zones, and the FBI isn't even sure about where all the explosives and weapons happen to be. And the Democrats know this. Obama knew this. Holder knew this. All of these people know this, including Biden and Hillary. And yet, their only goal was to disarm Americans for 10 years. And it still is. The Democrats want to disarm Americans with the knowledge that the Muslim Brotherhood is an anti-American organization banned from other countries, and that they are working on taking down the USA and taking over the USA. And if you want to read their strategic goals, look for a book online called The Project. It publishes their stated strategic and written and stated strategic goals. Don't forget them. It's invasion, and they were invited by Obama and Hillary and the Democrats into the USA. They were funded as a nonprofit organization. They hold secret meetings on U.S. soil in America's buildings and public buildings that are paid by taxpayers. And so it's invasion, infiltration, overpopulation. Well, Americans depopulate natural-born Americans. And then domination. So 20 years ago, Yusuf Qaradawi, the leader of the Muslim Brotherhood, traveled to America to organize Muslims across America, educating them with his plan for a complete takeover of the United States that would take approximately 30 years to complete. So how many Democrats are helping him out here over in the in Europe who invited them into their country as well? And Canada. It included a method of operation known as Muruna, M-U-R-U-N-A, in which Muslims are permitted to violate Sharia law in order to convince Americans that they are just like us. There's also another one they call Taqiyya, so they can lie to reach their goals under their beliefs. Now that we know the truth, there is no longer an excuse to allow this behavior to take place. It is imperative that we do not lie down. Well, we'll be lying down if they take away our arms and keep us locked down with these pre-planned, patented viruses that they're unleashing in China and around the world. And if they continue to force us to stay in our homes instead of telling us, hey, drink some tea with honey and fresh lemon every day, sip on it every 20 minutes, and some apple cider and warm water with lemon juice, and drink some Schweppes water and keep at room temperature and keep your throat damp, and hold your breath for 10 seconds, see if you cough, and then release. You should be okay according to the doctors if you're not coughing. And also, how about some vitamin C with zinc and D3 and so forth according to the doctors that are all natural foods and supplements that you can purchase in the markets and help yourself stay healthy and your family, and search on Google and look up what you can take to keep your immune system healthy. Because the bottom line is your immune system. If you have pre-existing conditions and you have cancer or you have heart attacks or strokes or a weak immune system, and you have asthma and respiratory problems or serious allergies and sinuses and Alzheimer's and all this, they're not even counting that anymore. They're not even counting that according to the latest press release. They're just counting everything as coronavirus, which in my opinion is falsifying medical records. And isn't that a crime? Isn't that lying to the family on the real cause of death? Why are they lying? Why are they falsifying medical records? Why can't the families bury their own loved ones? Going on? Between communist China and the extreme number of vaccinations made in China, link to the Gates Foundation, and to the and to Soros, and to WHO, World Health Organization, who appears to be the catalyst that took our R&D and our vaccines and our prescriptions. Somehow, secretly, China, Wuhan, China, not in the United States of America, but Wuhan, China, Communist China, foreign enemy nation, who took that opportunity and unleashed a lethal coronavirus on us? And who else was involved in this? Did Communist China just sink it up by themselves, or was the UK involved? Was Canada involved? Was the US involved? Who took out the patents? Who invented it? Americans need to know. So it says phase one, phase of the discreet and secret establishment of leadership. Phase two is the phase of gradual appearance on the public scene and exercising and utilizing various public activities. It greatly succeeded in implementing this stage. It also succeeded in achieving many of its important goals, such as infiltrating various sectors of the government, gaining religious institutions and embracing senior scholars, gaining public support and sympathy, establishing a shadow government secret within our own U.S. government. Phase three, escalation phase. Prior to conflict and confrontation with the rulers through utilizing this mass media, currently in progress. Phase four, open public confrontation with the government through exercising the political pressure approach. It is aggressively implementing the above-mentioned approach, training on the use of weapons domestically and overseas in anticipation of zero hour. It has noticeable activities in this regard. Phase five, seizing power to establish their Islamic nation under which all parties and Islamic groups are united. Well, that is their general overall plan. The document that was seized in the raid reveals a chilling insight into their Muslim Brotherhood anti-American jihadist operations, mindset, planning, and vision of the Islamic movement rapidly taking over in North America, said a member of the Joint Terrorism Task Force. It's amazing to think that this plan is 30 years in the making, and we, the American people, are now locked at home, and the Democrats have been trying to disarm us for 30 years. They're still trying. Well, these radicals that they've migrated into our country are all over our country, set up. They allowed them to set them up as no-go zones without inspections to come into our country without going through the naked x-ray radiation that they do to every American who is natural born citizen on this homeland. And that was another Obama and Chertoff and Soros and OSI systems invention installed into every airport where only Americans, not the foreigners from the Middle East, no. They are not going through the radiation. They're not getting naked x-rays. They're not taking off their hijabs and their shoes and being searched and patted down. Nope, their hair isn't. Their bodies aren't. Nope, they're not being questioned. They're just being shuffled on through under the guise of religion. Well, how about the Christian religion? How about the Catholic religion? How about the fact that this is a nation founded by God-fearing, Bible-thumping framers chosen by God to establish a one nation under God and whose laws are rooted from the Bible and the Ten Commandments, making this a strong foundation of a Christian nation. And the Constitution instructs Americans and tells them it is their duty to defend the United States of America from foreign and domestic enemies. So domestic enemies should be arrested who are involved in this takeover of the United States of America. And Americans should never be mandated to be assaulted with a needle of chemicals against their will, so that billionaires can either cure people or depopulate people, whichever happens to be, or outsourcing to communist China, where there's poor health standards. We don't know what they're putting into those vaccinations. And a foreign enemy nation who use that tactic handed over to them without our knowledge to unleash a deadly coronavirus. That should take domestic and foreign enemies combined to succeed at a worldwide pandemic. So, between the Muslim Brotherhood, Communist China, and Iran, it's not the time to be disarming Americans or assaulting them against their will if they do not want to be vaccinated, and have no information published of short and long-term studies of each chemical in the vaccine and any beneficial and any direct adverse health effects to human beings by each chemical. One shoe does not fit all. And most people are not 100% healthy, and many have underlying and pre-existing health issues. So for our government to allow anyone in the medical field to order all people who die to falsify medical records as the cause of death being coronavirus, is falsifying data, statistics, and death records. That's all we have time for. God bless you. God bless America. And stay healthy, stay safe, and fight for your constitutional rights. Stand up, or you won't be standing long if you don't stand up and speak out and call the White House, call your congressman, call your senators, call your state representatives, and let them know what your concerns are while you still can. This is The Rose signing off. Talk to you next Wednesday. Bye-bye.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or, if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.